Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's going on? Give me the haps.
Things are good. It was my birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday. The greatest day of the year.
Yes, the best day of the year. So that was fun. And Mike pulled through this year. After last
how
year's
was the card?
Debacle,
he was, yeah. How did the card go?
The card was great. He did a great job with the card. He got me flowers. He got me an Apple Watch. We went to dinner. It was lovely.
Ooh, where did we go to dinner? Do we want to plug it? Was it good?
We went to Carbone.
I saw that, and I was gonna respond, and I didn't want to be that annoying person being like, "Get this, get that." What did you get?
Okay, I have to tell you that I accidentally got blackout drunk last night, and I was so hungover this morning. You know when you're like hungover, and you're like, this is so unnecessary. Like, we literally just went to dinner. I have no idea why I'm like, my head is throbbing.
I think there's an age where you're like, this is inefficient. This hangover. Yes. Is it that the amount of fun I had from the drunk
exactly
is not equaling the amount of hangover I have? Like the numbers aren't.
I'm doing the
out.
Math. Think, it doesn't right. It totally. I was like, it's not even like I had a birthday party last night. Like I just we had a drink in our apartment, then we got a drink before dinner, and then I guess I had two drinks at dinner, and I was blackout and completely hungover, like at 4 a.m.
Were you drinking like martinis? What was the drink?
I had two martinis,
that'll
a vodka soda, and a glass of wine.
Yeah. You know, it's the martinis because you're drinking
glass of vodka,
flavored glass of vodka. Yeah, yes. I have drank a bottle of vodka from martinis.
Yeah.
Like I've
like
done the math
very,
on that.
Very, very strong. But it was good. It was like nice. It was for me also, it's just like, it's nice. I love to see him try.
Yes. You were excited by the effort that was put in.
Totally.
For a
that
great
was hot.
Birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and it was fun. It was a good, it was nice. How
so
about you?
We're hungover today. Yeah. That's a great, I mean, but listen, you had a good birthday. That's fun. You got an Apple Watch. Love an Apple Watch. I got one myself.
Wow.
Happy
twinsies.
Birthday. Yeah, twinsies. Happy birthday. I sent a text. You didn't really put out that much birthday content.
Well, during
so
the,
I was like,
during was the day, like, I was kind of hanging out alone. So I was like, okay. Not. He was working. Mike was working. So I was just like, me. But we had off at Betches for Rosh Hashanah. So I was just kind of like, walking around, like,
sure.
You know what I mean? Like there wasn't much.
You can't go on Instagram stories singing happy
it's my birthday
to me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I, cause then I saw the post and I was like, oh shit, the best day of the year. So I sent you a text saying happy birthday, but I hope it was a good day.
I put that post up just for you so that you would wish me a happy birthday.
Well, it is funny. Like, you know, I'm like, If you're not on social media with your birthday, then you can't get mad at people for the non. Hey,
what is it supposed to be in your calendar?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're not my grandma. So that's great. I'm okay. I'm in Boca right now.
I can tell from the chair color.
You could tell. Oh, yeah. I got the pistachio color chair, and I'm here. You know, fighting with my parents about how much I eat. So. All is fun. And
did you have a Rosh Hashanah meal?
We went to their club for Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.
And my parents take in all comers. Anyone that needs a place to go, they're very big on, they'll invite everyone. So you're at this.
Well, I know Mike and I will be next year then.
You're invited. my parents would, if my mom hears, like if someone's like, yeah, Rosh Hashanah, I'm not sure. You're coming over. You know, it becomes a thing.
Oh, so that's so sweet.
We had this cast of characters with zero connection to one another. That's always fun to interact right. with. And it was fun. It was really nice. And, you know, we're at a buffet and I'm fucking with everyone there. And it was nice. I like Rosh Hashanah. Jewish Thanksgiving to me. I think we need to rebrand it. If we rebrand it as Jewish Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah, there's no fasting. It's like it's a joyous thing. Mm. I'm into it.
I watched the ball drop. It was great.
At sundown, yeah. At sundown. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good. And, you know, I'm traveling all around. I'm like, right now, I was in Madison, Wisconsin last weekend opening for Michelle Wolf, which was a fun time. And then I came straight here for the holiday and I'm going to DC this weekend. So like the hits keep coming. I'm on the road, which is great. If you guys are in New York tomorrow through the weekend, I'm doing shows at Gotham. So,
oh yeah. And I'll be there.
Yeah. Jordana will be there.
Should we tell them when I'm going?
What that show might be sold out already. So,
oh, all right. Well,
listen,
too late for you guys.
Too late, but I think there's some tickets still available. Gotham Comedy Club, September 16th through 18th. I know the 16th is Yom Kippur, and that might be tough for people. But the 17th and 18th, you could come. We'll do a Gentile show on the 16th, and then I'm in Vegas. I'm in Austin, Boston, Dallas, New Brunswick, Buffalo. So, and I added Toledo, Ohio, but I hope that link will be on my website by then. But that's really what's going on. I mean, otherwise we got you up with benefits where we're getting personal there. People have really enjoyed those episodes, right?
They do. They love them. We get a little bit more intimate. And at the end of this recording, we're going to have Violet Benson from Daddy Issues on. We already recorded it with her. It's a great end of the episode. We go through some fun stuff. So you guys should definitely listen to the end.
That's right. So what are we talking about today, Jordana?
Today, we are talking about how to flirt IRL.
I love this.
Look at that.
I think this is a great one because I think flirting is way more subtle than the explanation. Like when flirting works, mm-hmm. it sounds like it's this big outlandish thing. But flirting really starts from the most subtle of places. Totally. Does that make sense?
The best way to flirt is where almost someone's like unsure if you're like flirting or not, almost.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I've always had the belief that if I start a conversation with someone randomly and they don't continue it or try to continue it, then that is them saying, I am not in need of you.
Totally. You know? And it's important that's the number one, I think, almost tip for flirting is to make sure that like you are self-aware of what's going on.
Yeah, totally. Like I remember a long time ago, I was at like Barry's boot camp and I remember I used to call it like you do like a comment. You just comment to the ether. So you'd make a comment. This is how I would flirt.
Comment and, where?
Oh, to the sky.
Okay.
So this is my, okay, listen.
Like when you're next to someone on the treadmill?
So I am not an expert. You are not an expert. We're just two people talking out of our ass. This is how I would flirt with someone or start to flirt with someone. If I was next to them on a treadmill and I thought they were cute and I wanted to talk to them, I would just say something out loud.
Okay.
And if they were like, but directed at them a little bit.
Give me an example.
Like, so we're on the treadmill next to each other and I go,
did someone just fart?
Oh, stinks like shit. Was that you? Is that you? That is a good example, but different than how I would do it. I would be like,
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, you're right. But that is. I would go, this class is brutal. Like something like that.
Okay.
And if someone looked to me back and was like, oh my God, I take him all the time. He's so hard or she's so hard or this instructor's so hard.
They're improving with you.
I would take that as that, okay, they're in the mix. Now we can extend this conversation. if they looked at me and go, what? They haven't even thought of me.
Or like, or just like the nod. The like,
yeah, a nod, right? Or a what. A what to me is worse than the nod, because they don't even realize I'm next to them. Is what they're saying.
Right.
Like they're not even, because I do think people, when you're young and you're single and you're trying to meet people, your ears are perked up. You're looking to, you are right. Looking to meet people.
You're assessing the room.
Yes, totally. Yeah, everyone's doing that. Everyone's walking into Barry's, walking into the boot camp class, walking into the group fitness class, being like, cute, not for me. I would, I wouldn't. Everyone's doing that. Or right. They're in a relationship and they're not doing that.
I agree. Yeah.
But how would you flirt, Jordana? What was your method to your madness?
I think similarly to what you said, if I'm in person, if I was like at a bar or something, I think I would like, I definitely was not that good at like initiating the flirting.
I don't think anyone is, by the way. Let me just,
you think?
I think it is very normal to be afraid to start a conversation with someone, or to be like bad at like, how do you even start this? And I think a lot of the flirting conversation never acknowledges how difficult these things are. It is normal for it to
There's
be
difficult. There's very few people who are just like, know how to talk to everyone.
Absolutely.
I feel like I would, like similarly to what you said, I would like say something about the bar, like, you know, or like, it's possible to get a drink here. Something, I don't know.
You throw the bartender under the bus immediately. Yeah.
Talk shit about something around you.
Yes.
Or if they have an interesting clothing item on, you can mention something about that. Or you can ask them what time it is. Honestly, it's like, it doesn't, I think as a girl especially, like, it can be pretty dumb because, again, like, the way to, if a guy is, like, interested, he'll take what any kind of, like, small lead and kind of take it from there.
Yes.
So if I said, what time is it? Do you have the time? And then, like, do you know what I mean? If they were into it, I think they would continue the conversation.
Ask me the time. This is what I would go. Here's what I would say.
Do you know what time it is?
Did you just fart?
There you go. No. The ice has been broken.
There you go. Now we're in.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Let's do the email. You want to do it?
Jared and Jordana, love the podcast. Honestly, love the changes I've made to my dating mindset after listening to almost every episode. I'm a year out of a long-term relationship. I've had a lot of time to heal and learn from podcasts like yours and read a lot of books to where I've been very happy with the single life. I haven't tried dating much. I've gone on many dates, but haven't liked anyone enough to pursue a relationship with them. I've gotten comfortable in my single ways to where now I found someone I'm interested in pursuing. I don't really know how to show that interest. My expression of interest needs some work. My IRL flirting needs definite improvement. Backstory. I met a guy through mutual high school friends years ago, but never thought much of him as we were both in relationships when we first met. We went to the same college, but never hung out as we barely knew each other and had separate friend groups while also being in relationships. After college, I returned to the area where we were from while he moved to a big city in our state. He lived in Spain for a year for a job opportunity and just got back to the States last month. His family moved to the same city I'm currently in, and since many of his friends he once knew here have moved away, he reached out to me to hang out. Wow.
This is really down the mountain of needing someone to hang out with.
Right.
Everyone's gone. The family's here.
He's like, we're the only two people left on Earth. Yeah. And so we went to the movies. We've hung out a few weekends going to local baseball / football games as I work for a university. And it's one of the few fun things to do in here besides go to bars. We've hung out one-on-one as well as with my friends, his family, and with one of his friends that came to town. I like him and really enjoy spending time with him. He's spontaneous and funny. I usually do the same things over and over, while with him, I've done many things in my city I've never heard about. Other than at these hangouts, we don't text or talk much day to day. He doesn't use social media much at all, so really my chance to show feelings are IRL. I'm not sure if he sees me as a potential romantic partner or just a friend to hang out with while he's here in the city, but the effort seems pretty mutual when it comes to hanging out. Since we don't talk much day to day, I don't know how to even bring up that I'm interested in him organically in conversation. I don't know if he's interested in pursuing anything since he will be moving soon or if he solely sees me as a friend. We are still getting to know each other, but he's hard to read and I've been told I am too. My question is, how can I communicate my feelings towards him in a non-awkward manner? How do I even flirt with someone when it hasn't been a really flirty relationship to begin with? Or what kind of conversation can spark the topic of what he sees in what these hangouts mean? I know, Jared, I can't base my feelings on him by how he feels about me, but I don't even know how to tell him how I feel without it being a completely random conversation. I need help flirting or learning how to show I like him so it could come up into conversation. I'm aware I sound like such an awkward millennial who has grown up around the convenience of technology. I'm used to the window tapping kind of flirting and texting conversations to ease the awkwardness of in-person flirting. But without social media and texting day to day, I need help IRL. Love, IRL learner.
I think this is a great email. It's very specific, don't you think?
Like specific to her situation?
Like her situation, I understand like the idea of like flirting is hard and... But like the idea that like this guy has nothing else he uses, but he's mutually trying to hang out.
Right.
And they aren't romantic. Like they didn't meet on an app. They kind of get back together through this weird circumstance of moving back and he's going somewhere soon. It's just, and I understand they're like, and then the emailer is basically asking, how do I find
out? How do I make a move? Kind of, I guess.
Yeah, how do I make a move without making it awkward? Well, honey, it's gonna be awkward. I mean, you just can't live life that way. But I would also say to them in this situation, like, you kind of have to own how you feel about them. Like, you know,
is that not what she said? She likes him, though, doesn't she?
So she does, but I'm saying, like, she's like, I think that's the only way to go as far. Like, I don't know if she's going to get this, like, I touched his knee and he goes, hey, we're just friends. Like, I don't think that's going to, I don't think that's their story, to tell you the truth. Like, and this is, that's why I mean, like,
how do you see it playing out?
I see it play. She said that he's moving away. So I would assume that he's being a little bit precious with his, like with what he gets into.
Okay.
So I would say I see the only way this playing out is her saying, hey, I have had a really fun time hanging out with you. Actually, there's two ways to go. She can ask about his dating life.
That's a good idea. Or you said this also on like one of, you said this on I think one of your Q&As where it was like, ask them to do something that no one wants to do.
Someone got really mad. I did that on the,
I thought that was great advice.
Right. I'll explain it a little more, but I did that on You Up. We did a question box on Sunday and it was similar to the situation. I have this guy friend and we're all friends and I don't know if he likes me or not. And I said, ask him to do something that like literally no one would want to do unless they liked you. And I don't know what the scenario that I said or what the idea was, like, hey, want to drive me to the airport? Like, anyone who would drive me to the airport has to like you, you know, like, because they wouldn't. Someone wrote back. They were angry at that advice.
Why? I think it's great advice, because it's like, if you like someone, you just want to hang with them and you're like excited that they asked you to hang. You're not like,
totally,
like, and that's a good, I mean, not, but also it's kind of like, if they say no to that, it doesn't mean that they don't like you.
Yeah, it was kind of a joking, but I do think that, like, the fact that she says, like, he makes time for me in the same way I'm making time for him, that's very important. Like, he does enjoy time with you, but I think if you're hanging out with someone and not talking about their dating life, you're actively avoiding that subject, don't you think, Jordana?
Yeah, I would say, especially after like a few hangouts with like a friend, that would come out up in some way, even if they were just a friend.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, you're like, then why are we avoiding this topic? Is it because I like you? Yes. You know, like, so I think that's like kind of a side door into this conversation.
That's a great
side door into flirting, is to talk about who you're flirting with.
What do you mean?
So a side door into like flirting with someone is to talk about who they're flirting with.
What do you mean, who they're flirting with?
Hey, what's your dating life like? Are you seeing anybody? Have you been on dates? So you're asking them who they are hypothetically flirting with.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And if they say nobody, and then they ask you, what are you doing? It's like, I'm not really seeing anybody, but I've really enjoyed us hanging out. I don't know why we wouldn't go on a date. Like,
a scary thing to say, but yeah, I think that's...
It's a bridge into the conversation. It gets the conversation. I think talking about dating lives with someone that you're not sure where they stand can lead to a sexier conversation, is my point.
Right. No, I agree. And I think that, like, it's kind of like, it's interesting because, like, I think to hang out platonically for a while can sometimes, like, take away from, like, the idea that it could be romantic. Do you know what I mean? But Logan Urie talks about this in her book too, about, like, kind of like also a segue into like a romantic vibe is like going somewhere that's actually kind of romantic. So like, you might have an easier time talking about that in like, not like the bleachers of a sports game, but like, if you were like, oh, do you want to go to dinner? And then like, you know, you could bring it up that and see if it kind of naturally evolved that way. But yours is more direct, and it's more like getting to the point.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to be like, so how's your dating life when you're, pass me the chewing tobacco while you're at the baseball game. But I don't know. I think, like, if you get on the subject of dating, it's hard to avoid, what is this, you know?
Right. If you're like two people who could, if you're both single and you're talking about it, I feel like it would be like an elephant in the room to not like mention the fact that you're two people who are, I assume, are straight and of the opposite sex and like hanging out a lot together.
So we're just two single people talking about dating, interested in nobody else, doing nothing. Like, it's just like not how it works. And
right.
But then the other mode and the other like even more direct thing, and I am actually more comfortable doing this, would be like, hey, I've enjoyed hanging out with you. I'm not sure what you're dating and you're looking for dating wise, but I'd love to go on a date if you're up for that.
Yeah.
And you call it a date. Instead of like, and then it's like a little bit more upfront of like,
right. Here's, or they're like, I'm not really looking to date right now. And that's your answer.
That's your answer.
Right. I think if you're going to go that route, you have to just accept whatever answer they give you. Like,
yeah. And that's the reality. Same. That's the same as like yelling out, this class is brutal, in a Barry's class, and someone looking at you going, what? You kind of have to back off.
Right.
You kind of have to say, okay, this is, I've gotten ahead of where they are.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think the most important thing, again, to circle back for IRL flirting, is like being self-aware in the situation, or being aware of like the small cues that someone, so if someone says, I really like, you know, I'm actually not really into doing dinner or something, or I'm not really like take the cue, back off after you said your initial thing.
And I totally agree. And like, I think the hardest part about all this is this person doesn't want awkwardness, but you have to take a chance. There has to be, like, listen, if I'm talking to someone in a bar and we're having a great conversation, how do I go from great conversation to whatever the next step is?
Yeah.
And it's like, whatever that is, it's taking a chance. Even if it's just touching someone's knee.
Yes.
And then
it's a great place to start the touch.
I think that's a good place. To me, someone could hear that and go, you should never touch anybody. I would assume a knee touch would be a good opener for, hey, I'm connecting with you. And that gives that other person the opportunity to go, hey, I am seeing someone, or this isn't where I saw this going. And that's an opportunity for, on my end, to go, I apologize, I read this wrong.
Right. And I think either way, you get an answer. You get a rejection or you get what you want. Mm-hmm. And so the worst thing to do is not to try.
On that note, on awkward knee touch, let's do some awkward sex.
Let's do it.
Okay. You ready?
Yes.
Hi, J&J. Proud subscriber to You Up With Benefits. Recent recipient of a dating app makeover. And loyal follower of all the things. Wow.
These are the best trifecta. The best accolades anyone could ever put on a resume.
Absolutely. And listen, You Up With Benefits, you can find it by searching on Spotify for You Up With Benefits, or in the Apple podcast app. It's right there. You can subscribe. 2 extra podcasts a month. Early episodes, no ads. It's a great deal. $3. This week's Sunday special reminded me of the metric my bestie and I run every situation through, which we call stupid or lying. Somehow it's 100% applicable in every situation. But I was also open to share an awkward sex mishap I had recently. A former, much younger friends with benefits I hadn't hooked up with in quite a while, over a year, DM'd me a request for Okay, I have to read this again.
Tongue twister.
I mean, I've never heard of it said this way. A former, much younger friends with benefits I hadn't hooked up with in quite a while, over a year, DM'd me a request for a bit of birthday head.
Just a bit.
just a tad of birthday head. Just a scotch.
How do you craft that text?
Hello, dear lady. I'd like a bit of birthday head.
It's my birthday.
Yeah. Did you tell Mike? You were like, Mike, just a bit of birthday head.
I would 2 servings. That's it.
I agreed to meet up because, one, his absolute top-notch dick.
I feel like this, it's funny. I feel like I was reading this as if the person had like a British accent. Like a bit of birthday head. Top-notch. Okay.
It is your birthday. I'll give you the gift that you want, Jordana.
Let's hear it.
A former, much younger, friends with benefits I hadn't hooked up with in quite a while, over a year, DM'd me a request for a bit of birthday head. I agreed to meet up because his absolute top-notch dick and 2... the guy I'm currently casual with doesn't really like head. My educated guess is that it makes him come too quickly. But who knows for sure? Anywho, I met up with the birthday boy for some car head, which turned into car sex. Obvi, because that dick. After about 10 minutes of very hot... literally, it was about 90 degrees. and sweaty from behind action. Okay, let me step out for a second. You're doing it from behind in a car?
Also, like, turn the car on and put the air conditioning on.
Yeah.
You're in, like, hotboxing your own car?
Yeah. He pulls out, and before I could even turn around, was throwing up all out the car door. Like a lot and loud. Did I mention we were in a cute little quiet neighborhood full of rich elderly folks in broad daylight?
Are they in your parents' house?
Let me look out the window. Are they in Boca? Yeah. Of course, I scooped my shorts up and jumped in the front seat as he finished up. apologized and explained how he had drank too much the night before at his birthday bash. Then he tried to kiss me goodbye. Ick. and has been messaging nonstop for a do-over. I'm taking a hard pass and have decided to retire from car shenanigans completely after this messy sort of hookup. Signed with love, retired from Roadhead.
Retired from Roadhead.
I got caught away with the dramatic reading. So he's doing her from behind in the car and he starts puking out the window. Is that the story?
I think so.
The heat probably led him there.
From his birthday, yeah. Why 90 degrees? I mean, that just seems like an odd choice. It's funny, though, that he, as hungover as he was, he still texted about, like, that was his first thought when he woke up, hungover. You normally you would get yourself like a bacon, egg, and cheese, not like,
yeah,
you know, you're not texting for birthday head.
Yeah, it's a weird move. Hey, I was just thinking, it is my birthday. Right. Like
I'm not feeling great, but.
But the way the emailer languaged the email, I it sounds like they're down. I mean, when you call it top notch dick.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely down.
Yeah.
Get into it.
What would you call this?
I'd call it hangoverhead.
Hangoverhead, I like that.
What would you call it?
I would call it the Toyota Cam. No, I had.
Hangover Honda Head.
Hangover Honda Head. That's good. Maddie had birthday barf, car sick from car sex. I mean, I would call this motion sickness.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, red flag or deal breaker? The biggest
is his car. This is my the vomit is very hard. It's hard stench to get out of a car.
Yeah.
If it's so, his car, it's a red flag.
The window.
Okay. Well, it's on. So did it? I'm assuming it got on the side of the car then.
It would have had to have.
Yeah. I would say first time deal breaker. If this is like a consistent thing, I'll let it slide. Everyone's got their day.
Here's where the deal breaker comes in for me.
Okay.
It's someone that you're like, it's a friends with benefits. You hadn't hooked up in a while. It's been over a year. This is like the universe telling you, you two needs to end this. It's time to grow up. Like if I hadn't seen this person for a year and they're like, hey, it's my birthday. Can you give me some birthday head? And I'm like,
Is this where I am in my life? Right? Yeah, it makes you like the kind of hookup that makes you reevaluate everything you're doing.
Exactly. I'm in a car going down on a woman in heat on their birthday.
And she's like, throwing up.
And she's puking out the window like, Jared, it's time to It's time to figure shit out.
You're kind of like if I was like narrating your life, if someone was narrating your life, like would this be like the highlight of like the story? Like this would be like this would be like the before the good thing happens to change you into the better man.
Yeah, this is the beginning of the movie where they show how shitty my life has gotten.
Yeah.
You know, like me, it would be a scene where my head is coming up from a woman's vagina and then she turns out a window and goes, ah! And you're like,
yes,
this is where Jared is.
And I feel like, have you had that hookup before? The hookup that makes you reevaluate your whole life?
Oh, absolutely.
Where you're like, I can't believe.
And it's not about that person. It's about the
situation. Yeah.
Totally. You're like, this is what I've gone through to get to this point.
Yeah. And then you're like, I gotta, you know, that's really funny. So,
It's sad because like that person doesn't know that the life reevaluation hookup, the hookup
came after.
That made you think everything through. Like
I realized I got to go back to school.
Yeah.
I get my life together.
I got to change. Something's got to change. It's like that scene in Bridesmaids where she's in bed with.
With
John Hamm. And you're like that whole scene. She's kind of doing that, like, something's, and she's climbing that's the fence. Right.
And that's where the movie starts. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where the movie starts.
Yeah. And then, you know, at the end, she's no longer doing that. So,
exactly.
This could be you.
We wish that for this emailer. Yes. UUP at Betches.com. Keep sending your awkward sex. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details. If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. Jordana, you want to do another email?
Let's do it. All right. Dear Jared and Jordana, thank you for all that you do. You got me through a hard breakup a couple of years ago, and I truly can't thank you enough.
You're welkies.
You're welcome. I have a bit of a conundrum. I'm working on trying to be more vulnerable and be more open about myself and my insecurities with my significant other. My main issues have been related to body issues / history of eating disorder. Fortunately, the eating disorder has been addressed through therapy, but I still struggle with body issues, as many of us do in differing degrees. Of course, to the outside world, I try to act confident and comfortable in my own skin, since it really seems like confidence is an attractive quality in a partner. But then there are times when I find myself finding excuses to avoid the pool or the beach because it's hard to feign confidence in a bathing suit. How do I balance being vulnerable / discuss my insecurities while also trying not to shine a gigantic spotlight on my own flaws or come across as extremely insecure? For reference, I'm a 33-year-old female and I've been dating a 31-year-old male for 5 months now. Again, thank you for all that you do. Is confidence key?
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one. I go through this myself. I'm on this week's Diet Starts Tomorrow podcast.
Can't
talking
wait.
talking about this subject. This comes up. And I can't tell you how to be more confident. I can't tell myself how to be more confident. You know, like there's, but what I can say is I think like communicating it to whoever you're seeing that it is a struggle for you is a good thing.
Like, yeah. And especially,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I think like you have to communicate it. And I think that like to communicate it, to do it like with intention is a lot better than like letting, because if you don't communicate it with intention, then it comes out weird. And that's with any insecurity. Like it comes out like when you're drunk that. Or I think I've talked about this sort of on like on UP Benefits, my own thing where it's like, if I have an insecurity where like about something, let's say I have like a, let's say if I'm her and I, you know, I have insecurity about like my weight or, you know, I've struggled with an eating disorder in the past and I don't say anything. But then let's say the person not knowing that I've struggled with any of this stuff says a comment that to most people might just let kind of like go or, but to me, it's now triggered something in me and I'm going to get like irrationally really mad, especially if I'm drinking, but even if I'm not, probably I'm going to get like very defensive, very angry. And the person's not going to have any idea where that's coming from. So they're just going to see like this sort of like the way that it's shown itself because you haven't addressed it first. So it comes up in a heated way. That's not like as rational as it could be. Whereas if like the person was like, oh, do you want to go to the beach? And then you were like, to me, the better way to do it would be like, if it came up in any sort of way, again, like in a benign way that where the person said, like, do you want to go to the beach? Do you want to go to the pool? And then you could say, you know, I'd be happy to go to the beach just so you know, like I kind of have like a, you know, this reaction sometimes, or I feel like kind of insecure sometimes at the beach because I've kind of struggled with like eating in my body image for my whole life. And it's like something I'm, you know, I feel a little insecure about, but like I'm working on it and I go to a therapist and like, you know, try to figure that out. But yeah, if I'm a little weird about like doing this kind of thing, just know that's where that comes from.
I can give you a real life scenario myself. I was, you know, invited to some event where it was like, it was because I, you know, they got in touch with me because of, you know, Instagram or something like that. And they were like, come to this event and it's a black tie event with dancing and food and you're an invited guest. And I invited someone to go with me. And as we got closer, I was like getting so nervous. I was like, I don't want to put a tux on. I was like, that's all I could think about. I was like, I don't want to put a tux on. That's all I could think about. And I was getting so anxious about it that I ended up like canceling on the whole thing, giving no reason. Just, I can't do it. I had a show come up. Like I almost created a scenario where I was bailing on something that I was, would have been excited to do with that other person. And instead of being like, and I, you know, looking back, I'm like, I wish I had just been like, listen, I don't want to put on, you know, like this is the real reason.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And yeah, and that would almost get them to know me more than it did.
Totally. And like, I get like, it's very hard to do that, to be like,
I mean, I didn't do that. It's incredibly hard.
Yeah. I mean, to just be like, I know this is irrational and like, you might not get it and like might judge me for it, but like, this is how I feel. And yes, I think that anything that you tell someone, as long as they feel like it's something that you are self-aware and recognizing about yourself, is so much easier to like, you know, to internalize and deal with and like be okay with, because everyone has their own baggage. Everyone has something that they're insecure about. Everyone has. And for me, that was like a fear of rejection. So like anything that was said that was sort of like benign, but to me, I would take it as like, oh, you're not coming. Like, you don't want to hang out tonight. Like, fuck you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like it has like, you just kind of like amplify. If the person isn't given any context, it makes you seem like, one, you're not owning your own insecurities or vulnerabilities, and two, that you're not like dealing with them, and three, they're just like, you just seem crazy. But
yeah. And a big part, and it's so true. And we are, both of us in that scenario, are probably thinking they're going to hear that and be like, and run away. But that's not why they run away. They were thinking to run away anyways. They just, that isn't the deal breaker.
Right. If they do like you, if they actually did like you,
they work with it.
Yeah, they'll work with it, because everyone, there's no one who doesn't have something that they are irrationally kind of like triggered by, or that makes them feel worse than it would make, let's say, the average person feel.
Totally. And that's where this emailer is coming in. They write, for reference, I'm 33-year-old female and I've been dating a 31-year-old male for 5 months now. 5 months is like when shit becomes vulnerable. Like,
yeah, if you wanted to get deep.
If you wanted to get deep. So I understand their fear is like, you know, I for 5 months, they could avoid it. For 5 months, they could be like, let's do dinner tonight instead of the beach. And Right. Let's do, and then you get to 5 months and they're like, why do we keep going to dinner and no beach? You know, like the jig is up at a certain point.
Right.
And it becomes you either get to know them more, they get to know you more, or they don't. And so I understand where they're like, they're at the point that everyone gets to. Like it's, and it's everyone's insecurities. It's all that.
Right. And the most important thing again is to not like, is the goal isn't to have nothing that you're insecure or have to be vulnerable about. The goal is to just be able to like express it in a way that's like calm and rational and like self-aware, I think, yeah. Instead of just letting it kind of like sit there and maybe build up and then it like releases in a way that you don't like, or that kind of like isn't your best look.
A literal like personality fart just comes out, just shoots out of you.
Exactly. Do the colonoscopy.
That's
Do
right.
The tongue.
Let's go. Let's look inside. Let's take the camera. Let's look around. Let's make sure we know what it is. Yeah.
Exactly. So that would be my advice, is to like, you don't have to just bring it up out of nowhere, but the next time maybe something like you have an opening to talk about this sort of thing, or something, or when you're feeling a little bit off about something, not the time that you're like overwhelmed with it, but the time that you're like, this might be a good opportunity just to let them know that like, this is something I'm a little sensitive about.
Yeah. I'm someone, you know, I don't know how good of a move this is, but I, you know, I make jokes about things that I'm uncomfortable about. And it's like, you know, anyone who follows this podcast or me in general knows I make fun of like binge eating and body issues a lot. So if you can find, you know, if you work that into a conversation, that can help too, because at least they know like that's something I joke about because it's on my mind. I don't know.
Right. No, I agree. So if you're dating a stand-up comedian, look for the things that they, you know, that they're the bits in their
yeah. Just look for the show. Tweets that they post on Instagram.
Yeah.
So listen, I think let's play some games with Violet Benson, right?
Yeah, we'll be right back with Violet.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we are back to play some games and introduce our very special guest. Please welcome Violet Benson. You might know her from her wildly popular Daddy Issues Instagram or her own podcast, which I'm so excited because we're going to be on it as well. Violet Benson, welcome.
Nice to meet you. You guys are like this. We want to welcome. We're so excited. This is one of our favorite guests. It is Violet Benson, our favorite guest ever. Welcome. She has a podcast.
We're gonna be on it. We know it.
Nobody said favorite. You heard differently. Yeah, than
said. We didn't say favorite.
Well, I'm conceited. So
That's okay. Well, Violet, we're excited to have you back. One of our favorite guests, not the favorite, but one.
Not the absolute favorite, but she's up there.
How are you? What's going on in your life? What's been going on?
Nothing actually. When we got off of this podcast recording, my shop launches. I'm really excited for that. I haven't had my shop. Betches has a shop. I haven't had a shop for like 2 years and now it's back and I'm really excited for it. So that's one thing that's happening today.
Amazing. Is the sweatshirt you're wearing now that says Daddy Issues something in the shop, I would assume?
Yeah, I didn't actually do this on purpose. I just like all my clothes are in the laundry. So I had nothing else to wear except what I just had for my event. So I'm just wearing this.
Who doesn't want to wear a Daddy Issues sweatshirt home for Thanksgiving this year? Who doesn't? Everyone should want that.
My dad wears one.
Yeah.
To work, yeah.
Would you recommend wearing one on a date?
Maybe not the first date.
like the third date.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, guys always say they love girls with daddy issues, but I don't even know what that means.
Do you think that's true, Jared? Do guys like girls with daddy issues?
I don't think so. The whole labeling of people with daddy issues, like it just seems like it's something that people sound like they know what they're talking about when they don't. Like, you know, it's like when you give someone a label like that, I think someone sounds stupider than they are. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Can you make something that says mommy issues? Because I would wear that.
Yeah, but
my dad and I are fine. It's my mom I have a problem with.
Really? I love my mom. I can't relate.
Violet, are you seeing anybody right now?
No, I am as single as they come right now.
What was with the long exhale that came before that? You seemed to think for a second. You were like, that wasn't a single as they come type of exhale.
No, I think it's like as in, I'm just exhausted. I've given up. I don't care. So I just don't want a date. I've given up. I'm like, I don't care. You guys do like whatever you want to do.
Is it like a post pandemic fatigue kind of situation? Like has the pandemic changed your dating outlook or anything? Or is it just generally?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I've been one of those people that sometimes like in the beginning of the pandemic, I was like jealous of like some of my exes that were dating people during the pandemic. I'm like, oh, they're so lucky. They're going to end up together because it's like there's nothing else going on. So they're just going to end up like just having sex with each other because that's like the most fun you can have during a pandemic. And then my friends were like, yeah, but like you don't want to be with someone just because you're convenient in the moment. And I was like, yeah, you're right. But the pandemic definitely made me more antisocial for sure. I was already so antisocial. And the pandemic as a kind of an introvert a lot of the time and like made me isolate myself even more.
I think I could speak for a lot of people that were in relationships during the pandemic. I don't know if that, you know, that sexual awakening was really going on for a lot of those couples. Yeah. I think that's like from the outside looking in, you're like two people, penis, vagina, they're fucking. But that's, you know, I don't think that's what was happening for a lot of the couples that were kind of, you know, pushed together even more because of the circumstances.
Well, I think in the beginning, people were probably like, oh, let's couple up. This is going to last for like a couple of months. And then it was like going on and on and on. The person was going to be like, fuck, I have to wake up next to you every single day. You're so annoying.
Well, especially
and you're also
new.
Here all day.
Yes.
Yeah. So then I was a little less jealous.
What are you exhausted about dating about? Like what exhausts you the most? Because I'm looking at your Instagram right now, Violet. And I would imagine you get some exhausting people DMing you.
Look, I'm going to be honest. There's no shortage of penis. That's the truth. But there's also no shortage of vagina. There's also no shortage of vagina. At this point, I feel like with dating apps and even Instagram being its own dating app, people swipe right and left like nonstop. And I think one issue is that people give up on each other really fast because there's someone like around the corner. But for me, I'm like, I don't have shortage of suitors. Like that's not my issue. It's for me at this point as I'm constantly growing as a person. That's what I've been doing during this whole time during the pandemic. So it's kind of like me working on myself so much and then trying to not repeat patterns of dating the same person over and over again in just different bodies.
Well, that's kind of my point is that I don't think you have a problem with suitors. I'm thinking you have the problem is with the type of suitor you're getting.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the hardest thing because it's like, I feel like when you date a certain kind of person and it's like comfortable and that's like sort of what you're attracted to. So it's almost like trying to teach yourself to be attracted to someone who's like healthier. Is that like kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's hard though. Sometimes I think like healthy people are so boring. That's the problem. Yeah,
nobody's attracted to kale.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's like the whole, I mean, that's sort of the whole like attachment theory thing, I think also. It's like, you're kind of attracted to someone who you get this like exciting feeling about. And like, sometimes the exciting feeling is like, oh, are you going to like text me consistently?
Yeah. 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 I mean, sometimes, a lot of times, people think, oh, I'm dating the shittiest people, but we don't realize that you're a mirror of who you date. So that means that if I'm emotionally unavailable, I'm most likely attracting partners that are also emotionally unavailable, because it's just, it's familiar and it's easier. And when right. we try to fix our partners, we're actually trying to fix things that we don't like about ourselves that we also want to fix about ourselves.
Yeah, there's two lead roles in this movie. You know, like, it's not just the other person. You're in every scene with them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just over dating. It's just not for me.
What's the last date you went on?
I don't think I've even gone on a date like in a minute. I think it's more like we go in like a group setting somewhere together. I don't like, to be honest, sometimes I'm so oblivious when I'm dating someone that I don't even know we're dating. And then it's like, we're on the third date and they mentioned that we're dating. And I'll be like, this is a date. We're dating. And it like throws me off because I had no idea it was happening.
Is that an LA thing?
No, it's a me. It's a me thing.
You thing. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just like so wrapped up at work at this point and like growing myself as a person that I sometimes just don't really notice anything. Like I forget even the work part. All of my exes have cheated on me because when I dated every single one of my boyfriends, whenever I date anyone, I just assume right away I'm the only person they're talking to because I'm just so great. Like, why would they even look at anyone else? So I've literally been cheated on and I was like oblivious when I found out because I was like, what?
You've been cheated on in like a relationship that you said that you were monogamous in, or is it kind of like you thought you were monogamous and they didn't?
I mean, you just said you didn't even know if you were on a date with them on date three. So how...
No, with my boyfriends, we were together for a long time, each one of them. And like, I was just, would be so oblivious if they were cheating on me. But the guys that I've date like here and there, like the minute we start talking, I just assume I'm the only person, which is good confidence wise, because you don't stress out as much about other people who they're talking to. But once I go down that rabbit hole, like then it's just done.
I mean, how did you catch the guy cheating? Like, was it a walk in the room and you see them cheating, or is it a phone thing?
My exes?
Yeah.
One ex, he told me. Then another ex, he accidentally left his laptop on, and I just were like, and his like Facebook was on because it was like, we were much younger. And then the last ex, people sometimes tell me, we're on and off for like 7 years. So people would like tell me, and then I'd be like, I don't think so. And then I feel like he would also prank me that he was cheating on me, which was so sick because he was actually cheating on me because he wanted to see my reaction. My reactions would always be like, okay, I need to process this and think about it. And they'd be like, just kidding. It's a prank. And I'd be like, okay. Oh, I feel like in a weird way, he wanted.
Is he 17? Is he Ashton Kutcher? What's going on?
Yeah. Enough.
I think in a weird way, it was like, because when people cheat on you, it has less to do with you and more to do with them. So I think like it was his way to see if I care, which is so sick. But like, that's why he would prank me to see if he wanted me to care. And I just didn't show those reactions. It's not my fault he cheated, obviously. But and then years later, I finally asked, we were like a break for like a year. I had a different boyfriend. And then when we started talking again, I was like, did you ever cheat on me? And I was making jokes. And he was like, yeah, I did. And I was like, wait, what? And then I started to go through like all these scenarios that I remember that I was like, was he cheating on me then? And then he'd be like, yeah. And he was like answering yes to every single one. I was like, wait, even that time you threw a party at your house and I took a nap in your room, you cheated on me the other room? I was in the same house. And he was like, yeah. And he goes, babe, you see, this is why I don't like telling you, because look how much it hurts you. And I was like, if you thought it was going to hurt me, why do you could have just not done it.
Right. Like, well, I think you made a really interesting point before when you're like, these people, like, it's not like, cause I think you could look at that situation and say like, I'm a person that everyone always cheats on. And that's like, right. Or you could look at it the way you're looking at it, which is like, I seem to be dating a lot of these people who tend to be cheating on people. And it's more like an issue with your choices than an issue with you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what's the common thread? Like, what am I attracted to that also comes with these other behaviors that I don't really like?
I don't think any of the current people I've dated have like cheated on me, but also we were never, Well, actually, I don't know. Maybe.
I would imagine it'd be pretty hard to cheat on you just with like your huge following. Like, even with, yeah. with me, like I'm, it's funny. Cause like Mike went on a bachelor party. Mike's my fiance, like a year of us into dating, and someone had recognized him as someone that was dating me. Like then and I'm like, and he told me, and I'm like, yeah, I've got eyes everywhere. Like you never know who could be
you
a
never
fan.
Know who's watching.
And you have like millions of Instagram followers. So I just feel like it would be so hard to cheat on you. Someone would recognize the person you were dating as the person you were dating yeah. and be like,
well, I keep it a secret when I date someone. I don't tell anyone when I date them.
Oh, well, that's the issue. You gotta put them, you gotta like show them almost like a wanted poster. Like you yeah. show them you front and center so that if anyone else sees them doing anything sketch, you've got eyes everywhere.
It's so bad, but like I sometimes almost like rather not know than like actually know.
Well, I mean, that's probably why you're keeping the relationship a secret. It adds consequences on it. Maybe it makes it so someone wouldn't like get more serious because they're like, people are gonna be watching this. That I mean, that's an understandable thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like I've been doing a lot of self-growth. I feel like I'm so boring when it comes to dating right now. Well, no, I mean, technically, I probably date someone like new every other week without realizing.
Every other week?
Yeah, overall, you went from I'm the most single so person that's ever lived to I mean, like, dating someone new every week.
Like talking to guys or whatever. Okay. But like, I'm just so focused on self-growth and like me seeing the constant same patterns that I have every time I date someone where like sometimes I think I get sometimes I don't realize I think I've worked so much on myself and then I date someone and the smallest thing just like inside makes me suddenly feel insecure or like breaks me without even realizing. Like I think I'm fine, but then suddenly I'm like start to get curious when they're talking to other people or like don't feel good enough about myself and things like that. And it's like little things that I just don't realize are happening. And it's like little things that I still haven't fully worked on myself. And I don't want to date someone again and get stuck in the situation that I've been over the years where like I completely lose myself in them and I don't see who they are at all. Like sometimes I date people and I don't even date them. I just date the idea of them because I just want to be loved so bad or want love so bad that I'm just like, oh my God, everything is like beautiful and amazing. You're like the best person ever. And like, I don't even know the fucking person. He could be the worst person ever. I'm not actually dating him. I'm dating an idea in my head.
There's an element of wanting to win to that where it's like, I just want to know that I can get them and get their love.
Right.
You know, and I that's an understandable thing, especially when you're going from, you know, social media world. That's a part of what makes maybe you successful. You know what produces a good reaction from people and you repost it, post it, keep getting followers. It's, you know, and you translate that to love. I could see that.
Yeah. And it's also, I think, hard to date as somebody with a following on our end, because we're so used to instant gratification. And that's the truth, that it's hard sometimes to date where you're not getting that instant gratification. And you're like, wait, why are you not obsessed with me? Oh, because you're a regular person trying to date me. And it's not, you're not my fan. Like, oops, my bad. I got that mixed up. And then B, it's hard to date because people who date you, like I tend to attract like insecure suitors without realizing. And then all I want to do is build them up. And no matter what I do, they don't feel confident. It's because I can literally like they just get insecure about me having followers or like a male commenting on my Instagram. It doesn't matter what I say. And then they act out by like trying to do the same thing. When in reality, all I do is just like, I stay home, I play my puzzles, masturbate and go to sleep. Oh, and work. That's it. Like, I don't
just
even
put that on a t-shirt.
tell me more about the puzzles. No. So wait, we're gonna play a game. We're pumped to have you here, Violet. One of our favorite guests, not our favorite, but one of them. She has an amazing podcast that everyone needs to go listen to right now. It is called Too Tired to Be Crazy. She's got daddy issues on Instagram. She's at Violet Benson on Instagram as well. Let's play Red Flag Deal Breaker. You ready?
Yeah.
So we give a scenario. It's a dating scenario. Everything you're doing, everything you're about the person is great. Then this thing happens. Is it something you notice? It's a red flag, or is it a deal breaker? You end the relationship sight on scene. Are you ready?
Go.
Okay. I'm going to read the first one, Jordana. You want me to?
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
J&J, love the pod. Think you're both awesome. I recently had a red flag or deal breaker situation come up. Met a guy through Bumble. He's 38, I'm 44. First date goes well enough to proceed to a second date. During our conversation on the second date, he mentions his roommates, which had not yet been mentioned after more than 1 week of texting, as well as a 3-hour first date. No biggie. He's single and doesn't have kids, so roommates are not necessarily a red flag, until he drops the following bomb. He has two roommates in a 2-bedroom apartment, so one person has their own room and the two guys share a room. He is one of the guys that shares a room with another guy. What the fuck? Personally, this was a deal breaker for me when I broke things off the next day, saying that we don't seem to be at similar places in our lives and I'm looking for someone who is a little more settled. He was not very accepting of my reasoning. Am I the crazy one here? Is it possible for a 38-year-old guy to not even consider that it would be a turnoff to practically everyone that he shares a bedroom with another grown man? Would love to hear your perspective on this situation. And just so you know, they don't have a bunk bed. I asked. They each have twin size beds. Thanks, signed, a 44-year-old single woman who is tired of this bullshit.
Okay, here's my opinion. They're both not wrong, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I understand both sides. His side is that it's like, especially with 2021, don't shame me for this is what I have, blah, blah. But she's also not wrong, because it's okay to have your own standards. She created her own standards, and in her 40s, she wants someone as stable as her. And she's not wrong for asking for that. If she has a stable job, if she pays for her own rent, she has her own apartment, it's completely okay to also want a partner that has similar views and similar outlooks and similar goals. So she's not wrong, and he's not wrong for wanting to look for someone that's okay with what he's going through, because I'm sure there's someone out there that also doesn't mind.
I totally agree with that. People who share bedrooms should date other people who share bedrooms. Yeah. People should.
Or a sugar mama. Or he can date a sugar mama that can, like, he can move into her house.
Well, that would be my assumption if I was her. I'm like, you're looking for a way out of your situation that seems bad. But someone's bad situation to you could be a good situation to them. I totally understand what you're saying as far as the judgment is concerned. You're on a date, Violet. The guy says to you, and you're on the same situation. You go the first date, then the second date, he says, this has been so much fun. I actually live with my buddy in the same room, and we have single twin size beds. I'm 38. Are you going on a third date with them?
Me personally, no, but that's because for me, but let me tell you something. I would consider fucking them, because everyone says broke dick is the best dick. So, because they fuck you like they're ready to move in. But would I date him? No, because I'm looking for somebody that probably makes as much as me or more. For me, that's important. No one can shame me for that, because I work for everything I have, and I'm looking for someone else to be on the same level as me.
In the same way you wouldn't judge him for being in the twin race car beds.
Yeah,
he shouldn't judge you for wanting to be with a guy who makes as much as, or if not more than you.
Yeah, both of them shouldn't shame each other, and both of them should understand it has nothing to do with putting each other down. They just want different things, and that's okay. But like, also, like, no one out there who's like, shouldn't go and shame the woman who's in her 40s for wanting a man that lives like without, like, that doesn't have a roommate hearing him have sex. Like, I'm sorry, but like, when you're 40, I don't want that either.
Well, here's my question. So you're saying we can't shame him.
Or her.
Is there anything we could shame him for? Like, where's the bar for where we're allowed to shame him? Because to me, that's like, it's not like, oh, he lives in, like, his apartment's not nice, or it's in a bad part of town. It's like, you share a room with another grown man.
Yeah,
so I am wondering, like, at what level of, like, non-adulthood could we start shaming?
But does he live in New York? Because don't you guys have, like, really expensive rent?
Well,
I mean, you guys probably are both sitting in little boxes. I have, like, a beautiful, huge house in Los Angeles. So
how did you know? Stop shaming me, Violet. Well, I think, Jordana, I think the shame is not our responsibility, I guess.
Right.
Like I guess the shame would be the responsibility of the parent if they felt that their kid wasn't living the life that they could.
Yeah.
They had the ability to live. But we don't know what he's been through. Yeah, we don't know the situation.
We don't know what happened to him. And to be honest, like, life is hard enough. It's not our responsibility to put people down. I'm sure he already feels bad about himself for, like, his current situation. I'm sure maybe in a year he'll be out of the situation to a better one. Or maybe it works for him right now. Like, I just,
But honestly, the point of this game isn't to judge someone's situation, is it? It's the point is to say, I'm on a date with them. Would I? And I think the emailer, they wrote this. It was a deal breaker for me when I broke things off the next day, saying that we don't seem to be at similar places in our lives and I'm looking for someone who's more settled. He was not accepting of my reasoning. To me, that's him judging her for her standard.
He's and trying I don't to shame
think,
her.
And I don't think she's crazy at all for saying, I am looking for someone in a certain place of life. I think you could do that at any age.
Yeah. He's just trying to shame her because he feels bad about himself. And he's annoyed that it's a deal breaker for her because he wanted to like go out with her or have sex with her. And he's annoyed he didn't get it in. And he's like, wow, you are so judgmental. That's disgusting, blah, blah. But that's his own insecurities.
Listen.
She's not wrong.
I live with six people in one bed. We sleep head to toe from one another.
Yeah.
Like we're the grandparents in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. So that's how I live. I would expect anyone to want that, right?
Yeah.
No, we wouldn't shame you for it.
Please, please do not shame me. This is how I live.
Grandpa Joe, should we do another one?
Okay.
All right, red flag or deal breaker. She has a squatty potty in her bathroom. I just bought a squatty potty. No shame, because it's been rather life-changing. And I've been debating if I should hide it the next time a man comes over for the first time or just say, fuck it, and be my full self. Jared, what would you think if you went to use the bathroom at a girl's house and she had a squatty potty? Love the pod, and you guys give me life.
So I'll give, since I was asked directly, I will say this is a green flag situation. I love it. I love that you're having your best shits. I like that I can use it. I'll be using it. I just want to see, because I don't have one. I want to see if I want to get one for myself. I like that you're owning a beautiful dump, which I am in favor of. It is a good thing. How about you guys?
Wait, what's a squatty potty?
Have you ever seen Shark Tank? It's basically, it's sort of like a little, it's like a plastic thing that you put your feet on to sort of like, so you can sit when you're going to shit so that you can like do it more easily.
My assistant has one. My assistant has one because she's short.
Okay. Well, supposedly she's short and she shits. Ew. No, I supposedly we shit wrong. Like you're supposed to sit at an angle.
With your legs up at an angle or something.
And this is like the correct way to sit, so it puts you in a position to shit better.
You and the word that. That's so funny. I've actually been thinking of buying it, and I had the same thought. I was like, would that be weird if like someone came to my house and they saw that? Because I was like, that's so cool. She has it, my assistant. And I was like, this is lit. Like, should I buy one? And I was thinking the same thing, so I'm glad you answered that question.
I bought one last week.
You did?
Oh. I love it.
The wedding is off.
The wedding. I've already trapped his ass. So, you know, now the real me is starting to come out. I bought the squatty potty.
Literally.
You know, I'm getting blackout drunk again. No, I'm just kidding.
Love it.
So for me, I mean, I would probably have the same insecurity. So it's very good to know, Jared, that it'd be a green flag if I were to buy it.
I just think it's an ownership. It's an ownership of comfort. Like I think that's like I think when someone is that lives in their best way possible, I think that is something to be commended.
But it's even relaxing to pee, by the way. Like I've peed with my feet on it, and it's just like, oh, this is really relaxing.
Violet, that is disgusting. I can't listen to that. No, I have a line. I can't listen. No, I'm kidding.
Well, what if I'm saying, do you think that like, I do appreciate the element of like mystery in the beginning of dating. Mm-hmm. So like I would, if a guy was coming over, I'd probably like make sure my like tampons were put away and like I didn't have any like embarrassing prescriptions out or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? Like I do think there's an element of like I get owning your comfort, but I also think that like we should try a little in the first date. But I don't know if a squatty potty is like screaming anything at you.
That's the thing. I don't think so. It's a little different. It's not like the squatty potty is on top of a pile of other shit that's in your bathroom. Like you're, you know, like one of those hoarders. Like it's like, right. I would assume it's placed next to the toilet or underneath in a way. And it doesn't scream to me, I take shits. Like it screams,
right.
Like it screams to me, like, it's here if you need it. You know, this is a luxury.
Right. It's very unassuming looking. It's not
I agree. Okay, I'll buy one. Okay, so they're going to sponsor this podcast now, right? Because we just spent
at this point, they should, right? Let's do one more. Is that cool?
Yeah.
He says fucking between every other word as if it's an appropriate adjective to describe literally anything. Follow up. My current non-boyfriend does this, and it drives me nuts, and I've tried lightly mocking him to make him more aware of it, slash realize that it's annoying, but I just think it goes over his head. Is this something that warrants a conversation? It's a different story when you're trying to make a point in an argument or give a rant with a little heat behind it, but I also feel like it comes off as trashy after a while of using it in normal conversation. Help, please.
So it seems like she's been able to communicate this to everyone else except him, that she doesn't like what he's doing. So instead of maybe mocking him, maybe just have an adult conversation, tell him you don't like it. I personally don't like when someone swears a lot either. So that would be hard for me.
So for you, it would be a red flag or a deal breaker?
If it continues, if it's who they are. A deal breaker. Because just the thought of them meeting my foreign parents. Like, I can't swear. I'm literally daddy issues. And I talk about, like, masturbating. And I can't swear next to my parents. I get embarrassed and uncomfortable to even swear or say anything. I don't even know curse words in Russian. And I'm Russian. They never taught me. So...
Well, I agree. I think it would be a big turnoff if someone was just like consistently like swearing in a way that wasn't like she said, like to prove a point or to say like, it's almost like an overuse of the word. And I agree. It's a little tacky sounding. I would
for us
into it. Yeah. For me,
I have a friend that she swears a lot and she married her partner that also swears a lot and it works for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they'll be eating dinner alone for the rest of their lives because no one wants to be around them. I would say.
Well, they're rich and famous, so I think I think they're fine. Well,
then they'll be alone in a big house. But I would say that I agree. It sounds like you're trying to be something that you want people to believe you are. Like when I swear on stage sometimes, and I admit it's a crutch. Because you couldn't think of a more creative word, or you're trying to convince people to your side. And it's the same thing when you hear it over and over. And I don't mind when someone swears, but you could always, it's like one of those like gray areas of like, you know, when it's too much.
Yeah,
I agree. All right. So we're aligned, not into the swearing
for us,
but for,
we don't judge anybody.
I feel like I'm at the point where I've trained to be so neutral. It's honestly annoying, but like, I just like.
That's what therapy will do to you. It's so annoying. It was for me. Like, it's like you, it's so much easier to demonize, you know, it's more fun.
Literally.
To demonize people for sharing a twin size bed as a 30-year-old or a room with another man at 38. Anyway, thank you so much. I think you brought great perspective to our red flag or deal breaker game. We loved having you, and you guys should check us out on Violet's podcast, which is called Too Tired to Be Crazy.
Bye.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Maddie Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and send us your emails to youup@betches.com. Betches.